Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week's first and only contestant is a Madsen-style lager beer from the brewery Connecticut Valley Brewing Company, located northeast of New York City and east of New York State. Connecticut is of course a state in the US. The beer's name is Oktoberfest Madsen Style.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first and only contestant this week is the Oktoberfest Madsen Style beer from Connecticut Valley Brewing Company. It is a lager beer, and the style of beer, Madsen, meaning March, as in the month March, is from Bavaria, or in other words, Bayern. A Madsen is often slightly stronger than a Wiener in terms of maltiness, bitterness, and alcohol content. Don't get your hopes up, ladies. A Wiener is a style of beer that comes from the Germans' backward cousins, the Austrians' city of Vienna. The ingredients in the Oktoberfest Madsen style beer are water, barley malt, hops, and yeast. German or Bavarian Reinheitsgebot ingredients. It is lagered in oak barrels apparently. But other than this, I don't know much about this beer. It isn't represented among Systembolaget's beer assortments. The best before date on this particular beer is most likely December 2023, if they used the American way of setting a date where the two first numbers represent the month and the following two representing the date. And I am pretty sure they do. Today it is early December 2023. The Oktoberfest Madsen style beer assortment comes in a size 47.3 centiliters, i.e. an about 16 liquid ounces can, or in other words, just like last week's beer, a pint. The can depicts a cartoon maiden with a red skirt, a white shirt, a green blouse, and a medallion around her neck. Her blouse is laced and closed. One side of the can depicts the backside of the maiden, and the other side depicts her front side. You can't see her face. The Oktoberfest Madsen style costs 26 kronor at Systembolaget. That is $2.50. That is a mere 63 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. That is cheap for any beer, and there is shipping from the US involved, I guess. Who knows the preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment? But it should be somewhere around 8 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 4 to 6 degrees Fahrenheit. I can't be more specific since there is no information about it on the brewery website. The Oktoberfest Madsen style has got a 5.8% ABV level. 5.8%. How about the experience then? Okay, let's open it up. It's got a three fingers tall head, and it's very yellow brownish amber like in color, or not yellow but brownish amber like. It's got a good aroma, honey aroma. It is not cloudy, no. It's an a lager beer, so. The oak barrel comes forth in this beer. Really, it does. It's good. My first impression is that it's a good beer. It's pretty rich. It is. It's not exactly bread-like. It's almost a little bit yeasty and malty. Really malty. Taste on my palate is maltiness. And whiskey barrels, no, but barrels, oak barrels. Is it sweet or dry? I'd say that it's more sweet than dry, for sure. I think it's really sweet. It's a little bit bitter, but not much. Perhaps a little bit hoppy. It's almost candy-like. Caramel candy, I think. No particular fruitiness in it. Or fudgy, perhaps. Caramel candy is, well, I don't know. Spices, let's see. Perhaps, I don't know. Not necessarily. And the undertone is oak barrel again, oak barrel. Carbonation level, I don't know. I think it's pretty high, normal to high. It's not creamy. And it's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. It's not so much of a light beer as I thought. But it's the oak barrel again. And it's probably not so filtered. I don't think so, not much. Perhaps, yeah, well, some, of course, because, yeah, I think some, perhaps. Well, it must be. It's not top fermented, so. It's well balanced, I think. Really good beer. Let's see if there are any more flavors in it. Pineapple, no. Pine needle, no. Let's see here. It's a little bit honey-like. Sweet-like. And perhaps a little bit fudgy, but more caramel, I think. Excuse me. I'd say almost chocolatey. There's a hint of it. It's the caramel, fudgy, chocolatey taste. But again, more caramel. Okay, what about grading then? How many beers do I grade this beer? How many devils do I grade this beer? I think it's good. I grade this beer 9 devils out of 10 possible. Okay, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. Mark the drug lords and follow the money. Moroccan authorities seized more than 250,000 kilograms of hash in 2020. Spanish authorities seized 450,000 kilograms of hash the same year. That is 700,000 kilograms of confiscated hash. Note confiscated. In 2003, 70% of all hash in Europe came from Morocco. Don't know how much of the hash in Europe comes from Morocco today. The population of Europe is 750 million. The population of Sweden is 10 million. That is 1/75 of Europe's population. Take the 700,000 kilograms and divide it with 75, and you get approximately 9,300 kilograms opted for the Swedish market, but which gets confiscated. In a survey from 2021, 3% of the Swedish population had used or tried cannabis in some form. 3% out of 10 million is 300,000 individuals. Let us, for simplicity, say that 2/3 were cannabis addicts. That is 200,000 individuals with close to a daily intake of cannabis, 9,300 kilograms, divided with 200,000 individuals is close to 5 grams per individual. On average, it will suffice for, say, 5 days for a daily user. 1 gram per day multiplied with 200,000 users multiplied with 360 additional days per year is 72 million grams, or in other words, 72,000 kilograms. Subtract the 9,300 kilograms confiscated cannabis. That means that around 62,700 kilograms of cannabis slips through the customs and the police's fingers in Sweden on a yearly basis. That is about 63 tons, or the equivalent of 30 large cars' total weight. Roughly just 13% of all cannabis imports to my country is seized by the authorities in Sweden. I should stop right there. And it doesn't look any better for Europe as a whole. I should say, though, that it adds up to this. Cannabis is by far the most common and bulkiest drug, which is easy to spot the possible hiding places for when concealed in large quantities. But it is also less penalty charged than the rest of the drug types. What the criminals can do is to use the free market to their advantage and smuggle in the drugs. But what they cannot do is hide themselves from the authorities for very long, not even if they smuggle it into the country in small quantity packages. They may troll up the customs, but it will increase the opportunities for the police force as more and by the drug lords' less trusted people get involved in the smuggling chain for cannabis. And no, we should not be legalizing cannabis to tackle the problem. Take it from a former cannabis user and sometimes small-time smuggler. But don't worry, I've been reformed for a very long time, 3 decades ago. We need to know our criminals, where they live and what they are up to. I understand why the authorities focus on stripping criminals of their material possessions. That is what works, and that is what we should continue doing. The criminals can freely choose between having a steady quarter and being marked by the police, and thus lose their valuables, including their cars, or having no steady quarter and thus being bereft of a comfortable life inside Sweden's borders and risk incarceration in their own countries if they leave Sweden and run their illegal business from there. Like what happened to the Kurdish fox in Turkey. It's their free choice. You could do things like they have been done in certain places in the US and criminalize gang affiliation with good results for the state. But we need to study US law first so that we can avoid unnecessary arrests and incarcerations. We should not force wives, sisters, brothers, daughters and sons to rat on their family members. We cannot afford putting whole families in prison for several reasons, despite what the Sweden Democrats think. Why don't you come over to the dark side? What is obvious to us, not so rigid Swedes, isn't that obvious to the Sweden Democrats? They are a bit like Donald Trump, only not all out so narcissistic, perhaps. I wouldn't say that they all are, and I should know. I've been one for a year, almost becoming a municipal politician for them in my hometown of Lund. It was kind of mandatory for new members in Sweden, the Sweden Democrats, here in Lund at the time, around 2013 to 2014. And I have voted for them in public elections several times, separately in my life, like 3 times. Once in the 1990s, when their current leader, Jimmy Åkesson, took over the rudder from the all-out Nazis in the party. So, early on, I'm not afraid to admit it. I don't think that Jimmy Åkesson is a Nazi, but he isn't all that dynamic. For a Sweden Democrat, sure, but not for an average elite politician in the Riksdag. Albeit, he has got guts and is shrewd. He is still full of secrets and lies, not adhering to a morally sound person. If he had lived in Nazi Germany, he would have been an Ivy League Nazi party member. That doesn't mean that he with necessity would have been an SS officer in the Totenkopf division, guarding a concentration camp, committing atrocities with his own bare hands as he goes along. And it doesn't mean that he with necessity would have been an architect of the Holocaust, like Reinhard Heydrich, planning along all the technical details for a genocide in the 1C conference. Lucky for Jimmy Åkesson's soul that he is a Swede living in Sweden, I think and say out loud. There will be no Nazi rage in my country on my watch. Do you hear that, Allianz für Sverige und Allianz für Deutschland? It is not for nothing there were only around 200 Swedish low-life traitors who volunteered for the low-life Waffen-SS in Nazi Germany in the Second World War. Even Hermann Göring complained about the meager Swedish group of volunteers. But truth be said, it was against the law in Sweden for Swedes to join the Waffen-SS. But it was against the law in Sweden for Swedes to join the Waffen-SS. So you anti-Swedes may twist it whichever way you want, but you cannot make wartime Swedes look Nazi-supporting. None of my grandparents were. The screwy Sweden Democrats is just something we will have to maneuver around. Some of them may be Nazis, but most of them are not. Most of us Swedes don't have it in us to commit violent atrocities beyond description. And I hope we won't let ourselves fall for massive hypnosis of the Hitler and Goebbels type of people. The idiocracy of the Sweden Democrats I used to belong to. And while we are on the topic of the Sweden Democrats, with the abbreviation SD or SD, what about the female outcry from the women in the Sweden Democrats about equipping convicted criminals with foot shackles with electric shock devices? I understand why they would want that, but it isn't feasible for obvious reasons. I can come to think of 6 reasons for why it altogether is a crazy idea. 1. The battery pack in the foot shackle is limited, although it is a minor problem. 2. The foot shackles probably already have GPS devices built into them, so shock devices are superfluous. 3. Convicted persons with foot shackles probably are less likely to break the boundaries than are their imprisoned peers. 4. Sexual predators or proven domestically violent women offenders should be in prison. 5. Domestically offended women will be cared for and given new identities, I assume. 6. And most importantly, electrical shocks on offenders also shock anyone who assumes that the offender's convulsions are caused by an epileptic seizure and tries to help the offender. While we are still at it, let us also look at the Sweden Democrats' youth movement's suggestions about Swexit. The youth union of the Sweden Democrats has outdone themselves in stupidity with their suggestion of Sweden's exit from the EU, or Swexit for short. This is what Esther Ekot wrote on the 10th of October 2023. It is translated into English. Quote, "The Sweden Democrats Youth Union wants the Sweden Democrats to open for a Swexit. The Sweden Democrats must work for a Swedish exit from the EU, a Swexit, if the transfer of power to Brussels continues in an unacceptable manner. The Youth Association Young Swedes thinks so." Quote, in quote, "I think our voters deserve a policy where they know that if the EU continues with the abuses they are doing, there is an alternative, and that alternative is Sweden," says the Youth Association's Emil Eneblad. End quote, in quote. The debate about Swedish EU membership is expected to be heated at the Sweden Democrats' upcoming country days. End quote. My comments on that. The UK is a country 6 times the size of Sweden in terms of population, and look at the problems they had when they tried to leave the EU. In addition, the UK had the support of the USA. Sweden has no real possibility of leaving the EU scot-free.
"I will make you an offer you can't refuse," the EU will say, like Marlon Corleone Brando in the first Godfather movie. The offer will consist of a bullet in the forehead or Storplatz in Nybroviken. Storplatz in Nybroviken was an often used metaphor in the 1980s for being cemented at your ankles and sunk alive in the water at Nybroviken, as happened in the 1980s criminal world, according to an old tall tale, or perhaps a tale, period. Storplatz means standing position. No, kidding aside, we are going to get run over by a train. Our best option is to try to influence the EU
together with other successful Western-oriented small states in the EU jointly. I think of Denmark, Finland, the Netherlands, Belgium, then. One can niche Ireland, Portugal and Greece into the pot as possible collaborators if we see any gain from it, just to possibly win more allies on some single issue against some big country in the EU. And what about the stupid suggestion concerning the demolishing of mosques in Sweden? Nowhere in the world has any dictator or democracy managed to root out one of the main religions in the world. And what about freedom of religion as constituted in the Swedish constitution? There is no law, treaty, or constitution that is sacred enough to not be trampled on by the Sweden Democrats. They just don't care about what has been agreed upon before they came to run the show behind the scenes. Their argument for this poor behavior is that before they had anything to say about anything, the elitist mainstream politicians had already run the country to rock bottom. And we all know that most of the Swedes never agreed to the politics the Swedes knew was an exchange of the ethnic Swedes in the favor of Muslim immigrants. It was the deep state who subdued the Swedes into thinking that it was for their own good. Wrong, but fair enough. Except, now we have a bourgeois government run in cahoots with the Sweden Democrats. I expect the people in power to take responsibility for their decisions. Forget about the past. I will not accept a situation where Sweden Democrats, when or if their policies backfire, simply take the escape hatch and blame the former government's immigration policy for the bad result. What do you think will happen if Sweden starts demolishing mosques? Let me tell you what will happen. Some crazy Muslim nutcases are going to start blowing up churches. There, I said it. But it was already a given response. I didn't give anybody any idea that wasn't self-evident. So if or when that happens, I'm going to blame the nutcase that came up with this stupid decision of demolishing mosques and the useful idiots, the bourgeois parties that allowed it to happen without a protest. What does it matter if it was a Muslim that bombed a church? A stupid decision is still a stupid decision. The Muslim bomber we can put in jail, if he is still alive and we can find him. But the problem remains. There is a very dangerous man in power, or a whole bunch of them. What will he, / they, do next that can harm Sweden and Swedish interests? Could we start deporting all sorts of immigrants? What if we deport all non-decent, non-law-abiding, or anyone we don't like, immigrants and their families? Wouldn't it be bliss, people? Let me see. Most Muslim countries refuse to take former citizens of their countries back if the deporter doesn't want to enter the country of his own free will. It is a general policy of theirs, unless the deported person is a beautiful woman or young girl, because then of course there is no problem. So what will happen when they, after an expensive flight trip, come back to Sweden with the same aircraft? Easy, says the average Sweden Democrat in the Riksdag. We'll let them manage for themselves without any income or housing. We'll see how they like the Swedish winter, haha. Brilliant! What a marvelous breeding ground for recruiting young men to criminal organizations. And it will appear as if the government and the authorities are powerless too. And that, my friends, is dangerous. Okay, smart-ass Roger. Let's see if you have any solutions to our problems, says the Sweden Democrats. My solution is to up the immigration. But we will only take in women and girls of fertile age in the future. That's how we come to terms with toxic masculinity in the Muslim communities here in Sweden. That's how we come to terms with criminal gangs. That's how we come to terms with the demographic male population being disproportionately large compared to females. Or at the very least, you will seriously debilitate the Muslims' will to further the future migration from their countries. That is what I think will happen. Who is to blame anyway? What has happened to the Social Democrats? They have stopped criticizing Sverigedemokraterna, and this has the effect that Sverigedemokraterna has been given free rein for its follies, which in the long run could lead to the downfall of Sweden. Seriously, Sverigedemokraterna is Sweden's Hamas. Ulf Kristersson is Sweden's Mahmoud Abbas from Fatah, who tries to balance moderate forces, bourgeois voters, with semi-extremists from another phalanx, Sverigedemokraterna. I was once SD, but now I see what folly they represent. And SD in government is not in Sweden's interest, regardless of political opinion, especially not with its own majority. The Sweden Democrats are simply stupid in the head, dogmatic types, most of them. Probably reads prophecies about history in Nostradamus' book and takes it for truth. They have played out their role since we have managed to stop the influx of young men from North Africa, the Middle East and West Asia to Sweden. And we have already managed on our own accord to turn the tide of how we regard our military defense forces. It wasn't the Sweden Democrats who accomplished that. It was to a large degree Peter Hultqvist from the Social Democrats. I hold Allan Widman from the Liberals in high regard too. He was an early defender of the Swedish Defence Forces, but he couldn't accomplish what Peter Hultqvist could, even when Widman was part of a political party which was seated in the government administration, but didn't regard our defense forces to be of any importance. It was shameful not to make Allan Widman defense minister in the former bourgeois government, and we can thank former state minister Fredrik Reinfeldt from the moderates in the so-called right-wing phalanx, who minted the now infamous word särintresse about the Swedish defense force. Särintresse means something like depart interest. He is despicable. He is the depart interest. He doesn't care about our country. As a young child, Frederick grew up in the UK, and I think that his loyalty goes to the Anglo-Saxon countries rather than Sweden. It is pretty much what his own father said, that Frederick sabotaged Sweden as state minister here, without ever mentioning the word traitor. According to Fredrik's father, Bruno Reinfeldt, he did this because of perceived racism against him by other Swedes when he was young. Fredrik's great-great-grandfather was an Afro-American circus manager. Fredrik never mentioned to the Swedish public that he grew up in the UK in his first important years, which formed his personality. Have you ever heard these words, Frederick? Love it or leave it. Damned coward. I met the man in Malmö, presented my vision for our defense force, and shook his hand right before the public election in 2006. He didn't make an important impression on me. He saw me as a potential opponent, and he didn't like that. I could tell, because during the whole dinner, he sat and stared up at me with his face all down to the plate while eating. His eyes and facial expression was dark and screamed, "You are my enemy." Well, I'm Sweden. That means that Sweden is his enemy. And the sources for this were Deutsche Welle and Drugsmart and SR Ekot. My name is Roger Klang. Thank you and see you later, alligator. At a while, crocodile.